This is episode number 724 with the real Tarzan, Mike Holston. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Harriet Tubman said, "Every great dream begins with a dreamer." Always remember, you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world. And today we've got a young man who is reaching for the stars and changing the world literally through the use of all of his education and his massive social media following. The King of the Jungle and the Real Tarzan, those are the names that this exotic animal specialist, teacher, and zookeeper, Mike Holston from Miami, calls himself. He's got over 4 million followers on Instagram and a massive following on YouTube, and he's used his huge social media following to teach others about exotic animals and wildlife and our part in conserving this wildlife and maintaining this wildlife. He's inspired by Steve Irwin, who he calls his idol and the best man to stroll this earth. The Real Tarzan uses visibility that he gets for the good causes that he's a part of. He loves to educate people about animals, and he often visits schools to teach kids. And now he uses his platform to teach people all over the world. And I've become obsessed with watching him on Instagram. He's literally grown, I think, 3 million followers on Instagram in the last 6 to 8 weeks alone. It's amazing what this guy is doing and educating us. And I realized how uneducated I am about animals until I watched some of his videos. And this is really inspiring stuff. And I think sometimes we lose perspective of wildlife and animals in our own backyard or around the world, what's actually happening. And we talk about this today on some of these things. We also talk about his background, growing up in a rough neighborhood, and how his family made it out of that background. He talks about how the love of animals saved him from depression, the power of what one Will Smith share did for him on social media, and reaching out to work with him and how that impacted people seeing his social media videos and actually being a part of this moving forward. We discussed the differences between animals in captivity and in the wild and how Mike would like to help save animals everywhere. We also talk about how following any dream, even if everyone says it's the craziest thing to do, Mike has built this incredible life for himself by talking about wildlife animals. And by showcasing animals, playing with animals, connecting with animals, he has built a life for himself, a business for himself, a brand around something that most people said to him, this would never work. And so if you ever have had a dream, maybe you've got something crazy in mind right now where everyone is telling you, it's not possible, don't do this, you're wasting your time, go get a steady job. Here is a great case study and example, and he's going to talk about how he's been building this and how it keeps growing. The more he dives into the dream, he attracts even bigger people to support him manifest it. So this is a fun one, guys, a powerful one. Again, lewishowes.com/724. Post that link out to your friends. Text your friends who have crazy dreams to listen to this. Share this on your Instagram story and follow at The Real Tarzan, Mike Holston. This is a powerful one, guys. So without further ado, let me introduce to you to the one, the only, Mike Holston.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
All right, welcome back to one of the School of Greatness podcasts. We've got the real Tarzan in the house, Mike Holston. Good to see you,
man. Yes, sir, brother. Thank you for
having
me.
Appreciate you being here, man.
So much fun.
You've been taken off over the last month. I found out about you from Will Smith, and then it seems like everyone's been talking about you.
Thank you, Will.
There you go. Yeah. You are just like taking over the world with educating us about animals, all types of animals.
Yeah, man.
From domestic animals to the wildest exotic animals to reptiles to snakes, spiders, elephants, anything in between. You, if it's an animal and breathing and walking and moving, you love it.
Absolutely.
When did you get into this like passion for just all types of animals?
Honestly, I was born with animals, you know, like not born with animals, but there was already two dogs in my family, born in my family. So I grew up with two dogs, you know, I had no siblings. So those were like my best friends.
Really?
Yeah.
Only child?
I was at the time.
You were at the time,
you
yeah.
know, but I'm the oldest of 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ten?
Big family.
Brothers and sisters?
Brothers and sisters.
I was going to say like 9 animals or something.
No. Animals is way deeper than that.
You're the oldest of 10?
Oldest of 10.
Wow. And what is that like?
It's the best feeling, man. Me and my siblings were real close growing up. So it's just like I always had that brotherhood, that sisterhood, and I had a bunch of cousins. But there's nothing like having your brothers and sisters, you know?
Wow.
I love them tremendously.
And you grew up in Rhode Island?
Yep. Well, I bounced back from Rhode Island and Atlanta for most of my life, because my dad lived in Rhode Island, my mom lived in Atlanta, so holidays, my birthday, or I was over there, and then I would go, you know, I would be in school in Atlanta, living my life with my mom, my two brothers, and the rest of my family was up north.
Yeah.
So every holiday, any break we had, we was home.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6 times a year, you know.
And you had a couple dogs growing up. When did you really start to explore out and adventure?
I got my first snake at 4. Uh-huh. 4 turning 5.
What kind of snake?
I had a boa constrictor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I've caught snakes, you know, like garter snakes and, you know, decay snakes and rough green snakes, you know, growing up. But I never actually had one as a pet.
So you would catch them?
Yeah. And I'll bring them home. Mom's like, what the f*** are you doing with these? Like, my mom's like, dude, you can't have any, you know. And it was in my freaking house. So I just kept begging and begging and begging.
And then a 4 got a boa constrictor.
Yep.
Was it like a yellow one?
It was a regular Columbia red tail. Had like a tannish, you know, brownish body with a red tail, you know, with dark brown straddles on top of him. But he was evil, bro.
Really?
He was mean.
Bite
yeah.
you a lot
yeah,
or what?
Yeah, he bit me a lot.
Really?
I didn't know a lot. You know, all I saw was TV stuff, you know.
You saw Steve Irwin?
Yeah, you know.
When did you first see him or see his?
Well, I actually first saw the old school Tarzan movies first. My grandma is an older lady. She passed away a couple years ago, but you know, 70-year-old lady would sit in her big, huge chair every day and watch this black and white TV. And I loved my grandma to death. Every time I came, we lived in the same house. So my dad lived on the first floor, and then my grandma lived in the second. My great-grandma lived in the second floor, and then my grandma lived on the third floor. You know, so I was always up and down, hanging out with my family every day. So when I go see my grandma, she would watch these stupid old movies with black and white. And I'm like, dude, this is so boring. You know, like, I don't want to watch this. And then one day, she had an old school, like, 1950s Tarzan movie on. Black and white, horrible. I look at it now, I'm like, dude, this is so bad. But back in the day, as a kid, I was like, yo, this is amazing.
Yeah.
You know? And
swinging a little rope. Yeah,
you know, fighting cheetahs and lions in the jungle with a, you know, kilt on. I was like, dude, this guy's amazing. And then I got a lot of stuffed animals after that. And then but I knew it was off. You know, I knew Tarzan was a fake movie. And then my stuffed animals weren't real. So when I finally got my snake, you know, I thought it was going to be a walk in the park, and it wasn't, you know, because he was mean. But that's when I started watching Steve Irwin. And then I went from looking at something that was fake to looking at a real person.
Who was really
doing this animals, stuff. Yeah. Exactly. You know, it wasn't
How
a cartoon.
Old were you then?
I had to be, I mean, anywhere from 5 to 6, 7 years old.
Yeah.
You know, probably younger or older, I can't remember, from watching PBS Kids and Zaboomafoo and National Geographic Channel and David Attenborough and Animal Planet, you know, you name it. Dude, I was engulfed in animals every day of my life, wow. You know, from a kid up until this day, you know, and it's just, it stuck with me.
Really?
Yeah. Like, once I love something or like something, I'm all in. Like, I eat the same food over and over.
Me too, man. I eat the same restaurant like every 3 days.
Dude, yeah. How can you get bored of something you love?
I know.
It's like clockwork, you know?
So you had the snake at four or five. How long did you have this mean snake for? And did you ever get a place where you were like able to tame it?
Yeah. Well, I think he bit me, my brother, my aunt, my mom, and my uncle. And they were like literally days away from getting rid of him. I kept going in there, you know. I was nervous as a little kid, you know.
Like,
I was like, this is my snake. I had to conquer this fear, you know. And every time we go to handle this snake, everybody's walking away with tears or blood. And I'm just like, dude, this is just horrible. And one day I picked him up and he didn't bite me. I was like, we're best friends.
Really?
And then.
But isn't it scary to like have something that's biting you to like put it up next to your face? And, like,
yeah, it takes time to do that, you know.
Right in your eyeballs. Yeah. And, like,
it takes time, man, you know, like.
You don't want to just pick it up and be like, oh, hey, snake.
Oh, yeah, no, not at the beginning. Uh-huh. You gotta basically make him trust, you know, trust him. You have to trust him.
You have to trust the snake.
Exactly.
How crazy is that? When it's biting you.
Exactly. When you're nervous, you're scared, you can't trust them. They have like a defense the same way with you. If you were walking down the street and some guy came to you and he's like, hey, what's up, buddy? You're going to be like, yo, bro, I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to run away or call the cops. But if someone approaches you, says, hey, how you doing? Shakes your hand and keeps it moving. It's a harmless.
It's more calm.
It's more calm. So when you walk up, you know, with a snake, you're like, oh, man, am I going to grab it? He's like, yo, bro, are you trying to eat me? Are you trying to fight me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to bite you just to get away from me. Because they're more scared of us than, you know, we are them. But if you walk up to a snake, you're like, hey, buddy, what's up? How's it going? He's like, oh, all right, cool. We're just chilling. Versus, you know, you're going here and you're like, oh, you know, you're trying to grab him. The snake's looking at you. You're looking at him. You know, it's just. But versus, if you literally do this, that's it.
Calm.
Easier said. You become a tree branch versus something trying to eat you. You know, you're just a harmless figure.
Wouldn't Steve Irwin be like that? Like on the TV show?
Of course, there's different snakes.
Look at this.
Yeah, yeah. Crikey. Absolutely. You know, you got to bring the viewers in.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? But like, it's just, everything's like, it's like ballet. You ballet with the snake and then. If you got a break dance, then you got a break dance, of course, you know, but it's all just simple, slow motions of trust. And if he's moving, you move with him. And he moves this way, you move that way.
The same thing with like a dog, you know.
Exactly.
I feel like I do really well around dogs. Like a lot of people who are dog owners are like, yeah, they don't really like big guys, right?
Yeah.
Or they get like skittish around big guys. But I'll just like kneel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put my hand out calm.
Get down to your level.
And let them come to me, and then they like start sniffing me and like start like putting their head on me, and then it's just like, all right, start petting.
Yeah, best friends, just like that.
Yeah, and these people are always like, oh, they never do that with strangers or whatever. I'm like, well, I'm just trying to be calm and relaxed.
Yeah, everybody's so nervous and scared of people's dogs. That's why they freak out when they get to their houses.
See, if it was a 30-foot boa constrictor, I might not be like, hey, little snake, like, maybe like touch the tail first.
Yeah, for sure.
That's crazy, man. Okay, so you conquered the fear of your first snake that bit you.
Mm-hmm.
Did the snake bite you again after this?
I'm pretty sure he did. I was so happy, you know, that I finally got to, you know, even interact with this animal. I didn't even care after that, you know. I just kept duplicating the same thing and doing more research.
It was less and less probably or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You started researching about snakes in general or about all snakes?
Well, boa constrictors. You know, at first I started doing, I just wanted a snake, you know, because I was just so young and naive about it. But I finally realized there's thousands and thousands of different species of snakes that get bigger and smaller and different colors and different places. They live in trees, live on the ground, live underwater. It's just like when I figured that out, that there was so many more than just, you know, pythons and boas, I was literally like, oh my God.
You freaked out.
Freaked out, bro. Imagine having your favorite food, right? And you ate it your whole life. And then one day you found out that food had millions of options that tasted just like that, but better.
Mm.
You know, you're like, dude.
Sounds amazing.
It's like an endless buffet of greatness.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so when I finally figured out at a young age that there was like thousands of different species of snakes, even the same species, you know, like a boa constrictor has 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 different species inside just the boa constrictor of that country. And then you go to another country, they got different ones, and then another country got different ones, but they're still boas. They look different, they have different patterns, some get bigger, have different head shapes. It's literally so interesting, you know? Wow. Some are more aggressive than others. Some are calmer than others. And that's what really, you know, intrigues me. And I'm like, dude, if I could learn this about snakes, how many other animals? And it's like that with every single species. That's why I'm addicted to all animals, because I love to learn.
And you can never stop. There's so many things you can learn.
Yeah, bro, like literally.
You probably know like 20% of.
I don't even know like 4%. I don't even know if I know 1%. That's just my animals. Opinion. To the outside world, I'm a genius.
You know a little bit about a lot of things.
You know, but me, I'm a student to the game. Always.
Yeah.
I love to learn. I'm an open book. So when I get around different people, like, you know, I was at Cesar Millan a few days ago.
Mm-hmm. He's been on the show. Yeah.
He's an awesome guy. You know, I looked up to Cesar Millan for a long time, you know.
You went to his dog psychology center?
Yeah, I went to dog psychology center. And I told you, I was raised with dogs, you know, so I trained dogs and worked with dogs my whole life. But the moment I got with Cesar, I have no fucking clue what I'm doing. Teach me. That's how I am. I'm like, give me all you got.
What was the greatest thing he taught you the other day?
How to make a dog sit. I've been doing it wrong this whole time. I've been doing a great job for myself, you know, but like he explained stuff to me and I'm like, holy shit, dude, that's real. Like,
how do you do it?
So when you tell a dog to sit, what do you do?
Sit.
Yeah, right.
But it's more about the energy, right? It's more
not like even, bro. He explained this to me. It's so freaking cool. It makes total sense because it's applied in other animals too. When a dog is born, they have their nose, their eyes, then their hearing. So they're born blind. They're born deaf, but they can smell. So the first thing they can do is they can smell first. So that's your first natural instinct is to smell. And then like a few weeks later, they open their eyes. They can see.
Yeah, start hearing.
And then they can start hearing. So when you go to teach them, you don't teach them through here. You teach them through here, and then there. Mm. Because once this goes, everything else goes. Because this is instinct number one.
How do you teach them through the nose?
Treat, smell, attention, stuff like that. I'm still learning because I just learned a few days ago. Right. So I'm going over the process of watching all his new stuff and this is how it does it. So when I go home, I can train my dogs totally different now. Because now, again, I'm a new book. Everything I did know about I thought I knew, it's now an old book, and I have a new book. So one day, when I get around another dog guru from another country or somewhere else, I can completely erase, put that book on the shelf, and they'll go learn something new again.
Yeah.
So one day, when I can give out information, I say, oh, here's three books. I learned this, and I learned that. So here's your methods of, you know, that's how I like to reiterate things. I basically become a sponge.
Yeah, of course. You know? How many animals do you have right now, personally?
41.
What are they?
I have three dogs.
This is in Miami or is this?
It's in Miami, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Three dogs.
I have a fox.
A fox?
American red fox.
Like a wild fox or like
a? Like a fox.
Like
you
it's
know?
Tame now? It's like.
A lot of animals I have, like 95% of animals I have are like rescues. Mm-hmm. You know, besides my dogs, the dogs gave to me for free from people from Instagram. It's like I worked at a reptile store back in the day. And then they sold animals, of course, to the public. And I'm into the animal education and conservation space. You know, I really don't care so much for selling animals. Yeah. I don't have a problem with people having animals as pets, as long as they have the proper education and stuff in captivity to duplicate their enrichment in natural environments.
Yeah.
But my fox was a rescue, and I raised him with my pit bull.
No way.
Yeah.
It was like a baby fox?
Yeah, they're both the same age. I think the fox was like 8 weeks old. And my dog was like 7.5 weeks old.
You raise it together.
So I have a 100-pound pit bull that looks vicious. He's sweet as
sweet. They're like the calmest.
And I have this fox, and they're best friends.
Shut up. So
and then now
the fox like bites you.
No, the fox is completely like
tame.
Like, even though never bit me ever, never bit anybody.
What? Even but though it's like that socialization DNA is like the more aggressive.
Not even more aggressive. You got to think, you know, in the wild, they're like at the bottom. Not the bottom of the food chain, but they're like, they get killed by cars,
right.
Hawks, you know, so if they're small enough, snakes eat them in different places, cougars, coyotes, bobcats, they battle with all these animals for territory, you know, so in the wild, people are like, oh, a fox is aggressive. It's like, no, he's just defending himself, you know, he has a lot of problems out here, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but the cool thing is he was so young, and my dog was so young, they bond together. So my dog loves me. The fox is like, okay, I can trust this guy. I love him too.
Wow.
So my dog was, that's why I love pit bulls so much. People they're so underrated. You know, people think they're so vicious, but they actually are the best dog. You know what I'm saying? Like they live to please you.
Gosh, I love it.
You know, and whatever you do and whatever you tell them to do, whatever you teach them, they're going to do it.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I just teach love, kindness, happiness, patience with this giant dog. And he has love, kindness, and patience with everything and everybody, even a fox and a lizard and a baby monkey, you know, that he could easily eat in one bite. He loves it.
No way.
Yeah. I got, you know, I brought him to the vet. He was like 90 pounds. He's only like 8 months old.
Oh my gosh.
So I got puppies, like 15-pound puppy pit bulls. You know, he got his heart. I'm like, dude, this is going to be, I got to watch him, you know?
Is he calm?
Dude, he's just the best big brother ever.
Wow. So you got a monkey. Is the monkey play with the dog and the fox?
Fox plays with the dog. The
fox doesn't eat the monkey?
No. Well, the fox doesn't go next to the monkey. There's just
certain things.
There's certain things you can put together. And if I grew them up from babies, of course, but I can't.
Otherwise, that would kill them probably.
Yeah, you know. And then you don't want to stress the animals out by trying to, they're not supposed to be together anyway. Sometimes it happens just naturally. I know I have a friend that has, the dog just passed away like a couple months ago. But for 10 years, this guy raised a St. Bernard with an adult male lion.
No.
I got video and picture.
Did it start as a baby lion?
They both started together.
And then they would just like lay with each other and hang out?
Best of friends. This 600-pound adult
lion
has a little 60-pound St. Bernard. That's a best friend. And actually, the St. Bernard was older, like by a few weeks, so he was more dominant than the lion.
No way.
I swear. They would get in fights, and then the St. Bernard would win every time.
What?
He would back down. You know, it's his brother.
Oh, my gosh. Even though he was bigger? That's crazy, man.
Yep. And I remember my friend was telling me, because they were so close for 10 years together, you know, that's like literally every single day of his life, he had this dog.
That's sad.
You know, so.
How long does a lion live for?
A lion can live like 20, 30 years. You know, so, I mean, in a wild, they don't last long, but it's been lions in captivity that's lasted about 20 years, and of course, more.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So what other animals do you have? You got fox,
I got a goat. I got an Arabian dwarf mountain goat that just rescued from like a little cattle farm where they're going to eat them. So I got him, and he's like actually the best pet I have. He's the best.
Why?
He's new to the family. He's just so, you never think a goat would be just so loving. And you think dogs are affectionate? Dude, this goat wasn't leaving my side,
No
bro.
Way, dude.
Dude, he's the cutest. He's like this big.
What?
Yeah.
Baby goat?
Baby goat. You know, he drinks whole milk. I'm feeding him giving him some milk because he's still a baby. He's only 4 weeks old.
Oh, wow.
You know, and he has just the best personality ever, dude. Okay. He has like these little horns that's growing in because he's a baby. You know, he just headbutts you a little bit. He's just the cutest thing.
He's going to grow big though, huh?
No, he'll be small. He'll be like 15 inches high.
Okay, so you get goat. What else we got?
I got a slew of snakes and lizards.
Snakes, huh?
I just got a bunch of spiders in recently and scorpions.
Tarantulas.
Yeah.
I saw a video of you with holding a bunch of scorpions and letting them pinch you or something. It's like, aren't they venomous or
see,
what?
People don't know, man. You know, there's
a little, I feel like I would hold those snakes, man.
Yeah, they're harmless.
What?
Not all scorpions, but okay, that
certain,
species.
That
yeah.
Species.
And that's where I go back to with the snake stuff, you know, it's when I finally figured out that there were so many different species of snakes. Some had different characteristics and personalities. Some were super aggressive. Some were super chill. Same with scorpions. You know, you think of scorpion like, oh man, this thing's gonna pinch me and kill me with venom. But there's like thousands of scorpions and everyone is different.
Different. So yeah. The ones you have aren't venomous or what?
They have small venom, but it's like a bee sting to you. So a human.
It still hurts.
It's potent to like a cricket or a, you know. It still hurt for sure, yeah. But versus something that can sting you and
kill you.
You'd be dead in an hour versus something that's like, oh, that just hurt a little bit, you know? So that's the gradual scale of it.
How many times have you been like bitten or stung or?
I'll show you. My scars have scars and scars.
Oh my gosh, man.
This is one of my favorite things to do. People always ask me, so I take my scars with pride. So you see those scars there?
Yeah.
There.
What are those from?
Just random bites and scratches. A scratch there. All up on my wrist up here.
Oh my gosh.
There. Here.
Probably your fingers are constantly getting nipped at,
fingers.
Right?
A little, anything that's like discoloration.
Oh my gosh.
It's just like old scars.
Scratch there, yeah.
Yep, there.
So what are the types of animals that have bit you or scratched you? Or
everything.
Really?
Yeah. But it's like, I don't talk about it on a show because it's not like, it's everyday life.
It happens.
You know, it's like, 95% of the time it was just on accident.
Have you ever been like scared for your life? Like, oh, I'm in a bad situation. This is not.
Plenty of times.
Like, give me a couple moments. Like when?
I don't like sharing those moments with people. I guess animals are bad.
Yeah, sure.
There's enough.
But you're also doing way more than most people would do.
Yeah.
And putting yourself out there. And like,
I think one day I have a lot of stuff documented. I'll go through and share some cool near-death experiences
really?
Or accidents or.
Can you share one? What was like one incident that you were like, oh, this was. Maybe nothing happened bad, but it was like, oh, this could have been a bad situation.
I went to the Bahamas and swam with sharks for the first time.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm the type of guy, I'm like, literally, I'm either all in or I should have been there in the first place.
Yeah.
And if I'm there, it's happening. So I went on this boat in the Bahamas just about a year ago, and I never swam with sharks before, my first time. So, you know, of course, you see the Shark Week on TV, and you see Jaws, and you see all this crazy stuff. But I know, like, I'm an animal guy, so I have to accept.
You got
to
do it.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even if I'm not educated on it, I have to educate myself on it.
Wow.
You know, and learn and embrace it. Even if I don't like it or want to do it, I have to do it because it's my job. I can swim like a fish. I love marine. Everything. I have sharks and turtles tattooed on my leg.
Wow.
But, dude, I got underwater, and I never had a scuba tank before. So the dude was like, you can't come, you can only free dive. And I'm like, dude, I want to go deep and I want to see these sharks, bro. Like, stop playing with me. So he went underwater with the tank and he had this bigger nurse shark and he went under there. And then I think some black tip reef sharks were swimming by, which are a little more aggressive shark. The nurse sharks are like, kind of like puppies,
babies.
Pussies,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I wasn't worried at all. But when, you know, when he said there's reef sharks coming, I'm like, yeah. It's gonna be gangster. So I wasn't worried about the sharks. It was more so of the breathing apparatus. You have to, you know, I'm on a scuba tank.
Uh-huh.
So you go 15, 20 feet in the water and I'm walking on the ocean floor and there's sharks swimming, there's stingrays and there's fish. And I'm having a lucid experience, you know, walking on the ocean floor. You have to take a class and get certified to do stuff like this. I never did it. So I was breathing, but I got kind of a little excited.
Yeah.
I breathe in water, you know, and I'm underwater with a scuba tank that I have no clue about what to do. You know, do I swim to the top and catch my breath? Do I? So I swallow the water and started trying to breathe in the water.
It's
the freakiest thing, bro. Like,
salt water.
Yeah. You know, and the sharks swim around, so I can't like panic and like, you know, I don't want to freak out. So it's literally like I can feel my eyes tighten up and just this weird experience, bro.
So not from an animal, you got to listen to your death. It was from just like...
But you got to think, a situation like that is where accidents happen with the animals, you know?
Because they can feel the fear more than anything.
They can feel the fear. I start freaking out. The shark's like, okay, is this something hurt? Is it it's the time to eat? You know what I'm saying? So if I start freaking out something at the top, I'm bringing attention to myself rather than being something that's just natural. Moments like those, you got to compose yourself. Well, who can fucking compose themselves underwater? You know, when you're swallowing water 15, 20 feet on the ocean floor with someone holding on to you with the tube in your mouth that you have nothing, no clue about, just telling you to breathe. You know, these guys are licensed divers, and I'm Joe Schmo that made him bring me down there, you know? So you have a split second, you're like, dude, this is a bad idea. And then you're like, all right, fuck it, I'm here. We're all right.
You talk about fear. You say that fear is a generational habit that can be broken. How'd you decide that?
It's more so of like a... I seen it with animals. People were, oh my God, snakes are horrible. My grandma says, not my grandma, but people say, you see a snake, a good snake's a dead snake. You know, so you have all these people that are, for years and years and years, just passed down fear.
Spiders, snakes, you know, whatever.
Spiders, snakes. My grandma's the same way. She doesn't like to drive on the highway. And I'm just like, dude, you drive on the street, you're just going 10 miles an hour faster.
Yeah.
You know, what are you scared of? It's a psychological thing, but her mother didn't drive that much, you know, and then her sister didn't drive that much, so they passed down the fear of driving on the highway, and it's like, dude, you're not giving me that shit. I don't want no fear that you guys got over there.
Yeah.
But it's like, once you get past a fear, it's so such a great feeling.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the best thing you've never had.
Freedom.
Freedom, you know, and that's what I applied to everything. A podcast, you were scared to talk in front of the camera, never did it before, but... Fuck it, we're here.
You know, let's make it magic, baby.
You know, make it magic.
Why do you think it's important for people to see someone who looks like you doing something that's unexpected? Because most of the, you know, Steve Irwins of the world, the zookeepers of the world are all white.
All white people, like, yeah.
You never see a black person.
Exactly.
Like wrangling animals and hanging out with snakes.
I got more so the confidence from my family, my white side of my family. I have a Cape Verdean background, so Portuguese and black, and then my grandma's like Russian and Polish and some other crazy stuff.
Cool.
So you see this black family, and then my great-grandmother, there's like blonde hair, blue eyes.
Really?
Yeah, like the soul of my family.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying? So when I saw those growing up, I never seen like black and white. Of course, I knew the difference between people, but my family, just as much as my mom and dad, because I grew up with them, they were the same bloodline as me. So when I saw that animal space and I noticed it when I was like 14 or 15, there was not a single black person that ever did anything that I wanted to do. I'm like, dude, I can use that as my advantage.
Wow.
You know? And it's also an inspiration because I inspire everybody. I don't care if you're black, white, Spanish, Asian.
Yeah.
I got literally love for everybody, every religion. You know, I don't care what you believe in, I still love you. You know, I just spread nothing but love and positivity and peace to everybody, you know? And I feel like that's what wins. You know, I feel like people are like, oh, I can't hang out with this person because they're Jewish or they're Muslim. Dude, I don't care, bro. I wanna learn. Teach me your language, you know, teach me your culture. Let's be friends. I hate barriers with anything, you know. I just love to be free. Like animals.
Yeah.
You know? Just be free.
Did you play sports growing up too?
Yeah.
You look like an athlete.
Yeah.
Play football. Basketball.
I actually hated sports my entire life, but my whole family's full of athletes. And I was the only weird one because I liked animals, you know? So you got my brothers and cousins. My dad was a McDonald's All-American in high school.
Wow.
You know, my older stepbrother went to the league, NBA, played for the Mavericks.
Uh-huh.
I got a slew of, like, athletes, and then you just got old animal boy over here.
Yeah.
You know, so they're like, dude, why are you not playing this? Why are you not playing that? Why are you not doing this? I'm like, bro, leave me alone. So after years of saying no, I finally said, yeah, I started playing football, started wrestling, started playing basketball.
Really?
Yeah, and I got pretty good at it. You know, because I got addicted to the progress and the process.
Yeah. You played high school? Did you go to college too?
Yeah, I played 1 year of college.
Where'd you go?
Played slot receiver at Georgia Military College and Atlanta Sports Academy.
All right.
Pretty cool.
Nice, man. I played wide receiver too.
Nice.
I played in the Arena League for about a year and a half.
How was it?
It's tough, man.
Arena's different than that.
It's different, man. It's indoors, you know, you got walls.
Yeah.
So I broke my wrist diving into a wall trying to catch a football. It's just like the roughest sport. I mean, it's the guys who are pissed that they didn't make the NFL
mm-hmm.
or they dropped from the NFL and they're trying to get back up. And it's just like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to work my way back up there.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think like that, you know?
It's so tough, man. It's It's like wild.
I love competition, though.
I love it, man.
On an athletic level,
yeah,
it's like something that I crave. Like
I crave it, man.
Dude, I can't. I miss it. I can't lose. You know, like,
yeah,
I can't.
I hate losing too,
dude. I hate losing more than I love winning.
Yeah, I was the worst loser for many years. I would like be so upset for hours, days that I lost. Even
same
like
here.
The simplest little competition, ping pong, basketball, didn't matter what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've learned like that anger, if I hold on to it, or frustration, doesn't serve humanity.
Nope.
It doesn't lift people up.
Nope.
It doesn't support me or the people around me. So I've learned how to take a loss as a learning experience quickly and just reapply the education from
exactly.
that loss into, okay, how can I be better?
Exactly. And people should think like that, mm-hmm. man, you know? It's you win and you learn. You don't win and lose.
That's it.
You learn how to win.
That's it.
You know, you figure out what you messed up.
Learn how to get better, yeah.
Tweak that mistake and you go at it again.
Yeah.
You keep going at it until you win. That's the way of life. That's what people need to understand.
Yeah.
You don't lose. And when people lose and they say, okay, I lost, I'm done. And then you go, you lose something else, and you're done with that. And then you lose something else. You create a cycle of yourself mm-hmm. of just fucking quitting, you know? And when you finally figure out why you want to win and where you're winning at, you can apply that in your spiritual life, your mental life,
mm-hmm.
your finance life, you know, your relationship, everything.
That's
just
it.
Straight winning.
Yeah. So did you start working? When was the first job that you had where you got paid working with animals?
First job.
How old were you?
I was 17 years old.
So
I got
the store? Is that what you're working at there?
Not this one, but in Atlanta, I got a job at this place called Petland. It's a regular mom and pop shop that sold dog food and dogs and cats and
little mice,
snakes and goldfish.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, like three or four snakes and,
you know,
just a regular pet store. Dude, I got in there and I felt like $1 million.
Really?
They actually didn't hire me at first.
You're just working for free?
Yeah.
Like.
They're like, why is this kid here every day? You know, I'm like, I want a job. But, you know, at the time I had long dreadlocks, I had tattoos, just fresh out of college, well, going into college and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, what is this black guy with tattoos and dreadlocks know about animals? And I'm like.
You probably taught them a lot, didn't you?
Dude, I learned a lot.
You did learn
a lot. I thought, you know, that's when I becoming in a real open book. You know, I started helping customers and, you know, just seeing the joy in people's faces. And I'm like, man, I want to be able to give them so much more.
Wow.
But I can't give anything more if I don't know more. You know, so I would start, every time we would have animals come in, I would pick certain animals I never had before. And I would study the fuck out of them. And I would order stuff for their stuff in captivity, like their habitats and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when someone came in and they were interested in that animal, I'm like, you want this? Okay.
You know everything about him now.
Here's what you do. Boom, 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 boom. And they're like, wow. But you can't get that service at Petco or PetSmart. They're like, go to aisle three. Right. Or, yo, Billy, go back to fish for him. And feed him four drops of fish food. Change water once a week. Boom.
Right, right.
But
unless they had
like,
someone who was there that was like you. Or
I'm here giving you when they breed, how they breed, what they eat, why they eat, why you got to turn the light off, how many times you got to spray them.
Wow.
You know, like climate, hibernation, like everything. And they're just like, wow, that's so awesome. And then that person goes home with this animal. They come back for checking. They come back. They get crickets. They buy new light bulbs. You ask them, how's your animal doing? He's doing great. And then 7 months later, oh, I got another one. You know, and then you talk to him. You don't talk to him for 3 years. And then you find out on Facebook that they have the biggest reptile 20. Collection in Wisconsin or some shit. You're like, holy shit, dude. You know, it's like, it's awesome to be able to give something that I love to someone else and they love it too. It's just a beautiful thing.
It's amazing. What about the people who say, well, we shouldn't be buying animals or having animals in our home or in our backyard. We should let them be wild. They're wild animals. Why do we have them in captive? What do you say to people like that?
I agree to a certain extent. Animals, of course, should be in the wild. But you got to think sometimes in the wild, they don't have homes because of us.
Ooh, interesting.
You know? And a lot of people forget that concept. And then another thing is, if people don't have animals here, you lose touch with them.
You lose touch with nature.
You become oblivious to the problems that's happening in the wild. You kind of don't care, you know, versus if dogs are being slaughtered in China.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you've never had a dog in your life, if the whole United States never had a dog, you're like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
Because you're not connected to it.
Exactly. But being a dog lover, you know, like, you're like, oh, man, that hurts.
Yeah.
It hits home. What can I do to help? You just think about it. You know, even if you're not doing something actively or physically, it puts that thought in your mind. So if I can put that thought in that mind of everybody, I'm not saying I encourage people to have animals in captivity. But in all reality, the reality of it is people will always have animals in captivity. You know, it's not a what if or why can't they? It's just they are. Humans are going to have animals in captivity. So if they are going to have them, it's the reality of it. It's the realness of it. We need to be able to educate these people on why they have these animals and what can we do to better their lives in captivity. Because some people have animals in captivity that they breed them, they help them, and then they release it into the wild to help the populations go. And then they're screwed because
it's not set up the right way or they weren't educated.
Exactly.
Wow. What's the most endangered species right now in the world? Do you know?
The most endangered species? I know the most trafficked animal is a pangolin. Rhinos are critically endangered.
Yeah.
Elephants are hitting, really? You know, a rapid decrease. A lot of animals, especially in the African area, is getting hit hard.
A lot of people are hunting, right?
Hunting, yeah. You know, they banned hunting. So illegal poaching went up and, you know, it's horrible. And that goes back to having that heart for these animals, you know what I'm saying?
To it, yeah.
So some people see these things, like, it's been happening for like 6 years. Hey, wake up, guys. These animals are rapidly dying by the thousands. Yeah. Like, you guys don't care? You're not seeing it? What can I do to say, hey, yo, look at this. This is not right. This is happening. We got to fix it. So I like being that voice for the voiceless.
That's good.
You know, because these animals can't tell you, hey, man.
I need help.
I need help. You know what I'm saying? The numbers just keep decreasing and decreasing and decreasing. And by time, it hits the global news when they want to pick it up, when there's 10 rhinos
it's
left.
It's too late.
You know? It's like, where were you guys at 4 or 5 years ago when we had 10,000 left? From 100,000, that's even a drastic difference. But don't make fucking headlines when there's 10 left. It's too late.
It's sad.
You don't want to wait to that brink of extinction
to
make a change.
What has working with animals taught you about connecting with humans?
Humans are crazy. I look at humans and like, man, you guys are dangerous. But me being around animals so much and seeing how they live and adapt, you know, and survive and eat and breed and just everything about animals, I'm so obsessed with it. Then I look at the human species and I'm like, we are fucking dangerous. We are animals, bro. Whether people want to believe it or not, we are animals.
Yeah.
Just a lot of good people out there, a lot of good people. But, you know, you look at the globe, and I remember, I think it was in fourth or fifth grade, I remember looking at the world population, it's like 3 billion or something like that. You know, now I'm 20, 25, it's like 7 billion. It's like, man, we're growing. Like,
fast.
Like, a lot. Mm-hmm. Imagine, you know, another 25 years from now, there's 14 billion people. Where are we gonna go?
Yeah.
We go and it's animals land.
Going
you know,
over,
we,
yeah.
you know, go up, you know, frick. So I don't like humans. Not like humans, but you know, like.
In general.
I'm an animal guy, so I spend my whole life with animals. So I've been kind of antisocial my whole life, you know, so social media has brought out the social side of me, you know.
To connect with people.
Yeah, exactly. And it's cool. It's definitely like.
Starting to like humans more a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Certain humans?
Yeah. I started off with children first. I worked in the school district for about 6 years in Miami and Broward. So I got to educate the children on animals and the relationship with the kids and the animals. It was such a dope feeling and experience, you know? So.
Where were you working at the time?
Yeah.
Where was that you were working?
South Florida. So I had a job at a reptile store called Underground Reptiles. I worked at a zoo called Zoological Wildlife Foundation.
In Miami?
Yep, in Miami.
So you worked at the zoo for how long?
About a year.
Year?
About a year and a half.
And you were working with the kids at the zoo?
I was working with the kids on like every aspect. I had my own small iguana business. I was rescuing iguanas.
Really?
Yeah, I did educational shows and events. I did my regular management work at the reptile store, building cages, helping customers, picking up shipments, the whole shebang. I worked 7 days a week for like 3 years straight, not a day off. Of course, when I like went on vacation or something, but dude, I'm so like involved in my niche of work, from children to rescuing iguanas to working with monkeys at a zoo to learning as a young zookeeper, working at my old job, answering the phone, going out feeding 700 lizards outside in the hot blazing sun, and coming inside and pulling eggs and checking incubator temperatures and dotting down data. Just
wow,
just all stuff that I love to do. So when I can generate 100 hours a week, 7 days a week, working for somebody else, and when I finally birthed my whole Tarzan project, I was able to put all those hours for somebody else into my own craft. Mm-hmm. And it's just been an amazing thing.
So the Tarzan Project, is that what you're working on now?
Yeah.
Is that the brand, the business? When did you start that?
We started Tarzan.
The real Tarzan?
10 months ago.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
And so you just started it. This is your brand, your company. What is it? What's the mission?
Tarzan.
Besides all the crazy videos that I see.
It's more so of me being a mirror. I'm a walking mirror. This is my motto to the world. People want to ask me what I do, why I do what I do. My business, whether it's Tarzan or King of the Jungle or just my cousin, the name doesn't matter. I want people to see me and my brand and whatever I do as themselves. Mm. I want them to look at me and look directly back at themselves. Because I come from nothing. I'm just a regular street hood kid from the smallest state in the United States. If I can do it, you can do it. That's my motto. So people see Tarzan, and I want people to see themselves in their arts and crafts, or they want to open up a wine business, or they want to be a chiropractor. I want you guys to put that same effort that you see me do into your stuff, because I believe in you, because I come from nothing, and I want to see you make it. Mm. So that's what my Tarzan project is. Of course, educating people with animals, et cetera, but the whole project's way bigger than just myself. It's about the people, you know, and inspired, encouraging people to be bold. It was first, I am Tarzan. And then, because I was wanting to be Tarzan as a kid, so I never stopped thinking about being Tarzan. Now that I'm Tarzan, it's like, okay. Everybody's like, oh, Tarzan's so cool. It's like, no, you're cool. Go do your own shit, you know? Yeah. That's just, I want to be able to inspire these people from a real level, you know? And I feel like I can touch people because I'm young, 24-year-old millennial kid that lived in South Beach that still parties, listens to rap music. That's all this stuff, but I'm just so focused on my dreams and goals that can't shit break me.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to reiterate that to the younger people, the younger generation, the people in middle school, people in high school now, and college now, people that are struggling now already have degrees. I want to be able to get them that motivation. Like, look, bro, go out there and get that shit. Don't take no for an answer. Don't take no L's. You just win and you learn.
Yeah.
You know? That's what Tarzan's about. That's Tarzan as a project. It's just basically being a giant mirror of yourself.
Mm. I like that, man. And what's the business model for you? Is it events? Is it curating?
I want to educate on the highest platform. Of course, Instagram has gave me such an exposure, and I'm very grateful for it. You know, but
was Will Smith the one who launched it even to more heights? Were you building it on your own, and then
I still to this day I'm hustling hard on it. It feels good to be able to work and work and work and work, and then one day you get an email from Will Smith's company, and I thought it was spam. Honestly,
what did it say?
It just said, hey, we're from Will Smith's team. We love what you do. Will's a big fan of your work. And we want to do a collaboration, you know? And then I'm like, yeah, right. Okay.
What happened?
So, of course, I replied to the email. And I said, absolutely. I would love to work with you guys. But I had the thought, you know, that thought in the back of my head, like, it's never going to happen. It's Will Smith, bro. You know, like, who has just Will Smith emailing them.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It just doesn't make sense, you know? So I had that hope, but then again, I was like, this is not real.
Yeah.
A few weeks pass, and I didn't forget about it, but I kind of like just kept moving, you know? And I ended up coming out here with one of my friends, Austin, and I got on a plane at like 1 o'clock from Miami, East Coast time. I had 1.2 million followers. When I got on the plane.
It's pretty big on your own in like 10 months doing it on your own,
right? It was insane, dude. So I got on a plane. I had like, I remember making a post on Instagram saying, thank you all for supporting me. We just hit 1.2 million followers. I love you all. Can't wait to continue to see what's next. So I get on the plane. I take off. And I usually always buy Wi-Fi when I'm on the plane so I can keep working, answer emails, reply to text messages and DMs. I'm like, you know what? I'm working hard. I'm just going to rest on this flight.
A few hours of chill,
I'm going to take a few hours of chill, go to sleep, and then I'll start fresh when I land because when I land, I'm back working
hard,
again.
Yeah.
And, dude, I landed, and I turn my phone on. I'm like, yo, why is my phone, like,
blowing up.
It's not even blowing up yet. It's like freezing, you know? So I open my phone and it's just, so I pick my phone up and like.
You're at 1.2 million when you took off.
I'm like, dude, why is my phone not working? You know? And then I put it in my pocket. I go get my luggage. I feel my phone go like. Zzz, zzz, zzz. So I open my phone, bro. I have like 200 text messages. Like, yo, Will Smith just posted you. Like, literally everybody I ever had, like, in my contacts texted
me. Oh, my God.
If I haven't talked to you for years, I got a text message. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, no way. So I go to my Instagram. I got 1.8 million followers.
Oh, my God.
Within, like, three, four, five, LA flight from the East Coast to the West Coast. I went from 1.2 to 1.8 just like that.
One post.
And it kept going.
And you never met him. You didn't meet him yet.
I didn't meet him yet. No, never talked to him on the phone.
You didn't know they was gonna post you.
No, they didn't see the video or anything.
Like he just reshared a video, right?
No. He made his own like compilation, like highlight reel of me.
Of you.
Yeah, and then he was like, "This is Mike hosting the Real Tarzan. He's incredibly like Will Smith talking, like saying this stuff." Like in my mind, I started crying when it happened. I didn't tell no one that before. It's the first time people hearing that, you know. But like,
I cried too. I'd be like,
oh, "Dude, I sat there and I like literally started crying." You know, like.
How did it make you feel to know that he like, really like cared about your mission, your message, your...
For so long, bro, you know, I've been working on my Tarzan since a little kid. You know, I had this vision of being Tarzan, and I got plenty of doubts from, you know, my family, from friends, just everybody like, yo, don't do that. Don't work with animals. There's no money in it. There's no this. Yeah. There's no that. I've heard it all. It was cool to be able to have someone that I looked up to, like Will Smith, like, yo, I support you. I love what you're doing, you know, and that meant a lot to me because I put so much blood, sweat, and tears into my little small craft to have someone at such a high level. And not even from being Will Smith, I was at a dark place in my, not a dark place, but I was like depressed and lonely for a certain, like a long time in my life. And Eric Thomas and Will Smith, I watched their videos on YouTube. I cut all music out of my life for like 2 years. And I listened to straight motivational podcasts and speeches. Wow. And it basically like cleansed me. And Will Smith, Eric Thomas, C.T. Fletcher, this guy named Bradley Martin. I went through this whole like fitness, you know, phase and working hard on my craft. That's when I developed working 100 hours a week. That's when I birthed all that stuff. So to stay focused, I didn't go out to the club. I didn't hang out with chicks. I didn't do nothing but work out, go to the gym, listen to those guys, Will Smith. So when it was, you know, that time hit, you know, it brought back everything. You know, wow. As soon as I heard his voice, like, this is Mike Holston, the Real Tarzan, dude. It's just like, came like a ton of bricks, you know, of happiness.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, dude, like, this is really happening. Because, you know, seeing these followers is cool. You know, they're just numbers, they're people that are interested in what you do. But it goes to a whole other stratosphere when you have people of that caliber, like, okay, this guy's dope. Man. And they publicly go do that. You know, these guys are busy.
They don't have to do that.
They don't have to do that. They have millions of dollars. You know, they have so many projects at work. They have families. What are you worried about little Tarzan for? The same thing with P. Diddy. You know, Diddy's a big part of my life. You know, and it's like, it's so cool.
Did he find you after Will Smith? Did he reach out and then all these people start reaching out after that?
I'm not sure the process of how he found out about me, but I remember seeing him and he's like, we got to connect. Because I was hanging out with his children already.
You were before Will Smith was...
Yeah, yeah. I would see his kids every now and then when I went out to go network and stuff. And
show them animals and snakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I saw him here in L.A. at the same exact time that Will Smith posted me. I was in L.A. I went to a day party. Had no clue Diddy was going to be there. Diddy's there. You know, and he's like, hey, what's up, Tarzan? I'm like, how the fuck does P. Diddy know who I am? You know? He's like, hey, we got to talk some business, man. I love what you do. We'll chop it up one day.
Wow.
P. Diddy, billionaire. Ciroc, Bad Boy, Sean John.
You're just hanging out with snakes.
Just crazy.
Chilling.
You know? And it just, it's all history from there.
This was what, like a couple months ago or something?
Dude, like 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
So what has happened in your life since then? Like what are
the
business opportunities?
Post Will Smith?
Yeah.
Everything like...
Changed, huh?
Changed.
What's been happening? Yeah.
Nothing changed for me as far as like...
You're still doing the same thing.
Well, stuff behind the scenes that I'm working on, it's just
What can you share? What's changed? Who are the people that have reached out to you since then that you've connected
with? Tarzan had a TV show come in 2019. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. My man.
You know?
I like it.
So I can't say where, I can't say when. Just know you're going to see this beautiful, bright smile with a bunch of animals.
I like it, man.
Coming soon. And I guess going back to saying, you know, once you get here, you got to keep going. You know, of course, I can say, oh, I got a TV show. I made it. Fuck everybody. I'm done. You know, but the real me is like, dude, this is it. This is where you, this now is where you, gotta you really go hard. Yeah. This is where you really block everything out and you really focus, you really start studying, you really learn different languages, you really start, you know, mastering your physical aspects of just everything. So this is this is scary for like
scary, but also
people
good.
Think like, yo, this guy, like, you have no clue what I'm about to tap into. They thought Eric Thomas and Will Smith did something to me years ago that made this. Wait till now, you know, like.
I like it, man.
It's fun, man.
What has kept you motivated to pursue this dream even when the money hasn't been there or it's not this profitable, like.
I've been broke this whole year.
Until now.
Richard Hart. There's nothing. I've been homeless. I've struggled. I've lost everything. I've lost animals. I've lost people.
Yeah.
You know, so when little stuff happens in my life, little problems, it doesn't bother me because I know I can overcome it. It's more so of a mental thing. And I lost my dad when I was 14. So that's probably my main focal point of why I drive hard every day because me and my dad was real close. Mm. You know, so when I lost my dad, I lost love. I didn't love nobody, didn't love anything. That's when I told you I was in that dark place from 14 till about a few years ago. And dude, I had to transition that anger and that hurt and that pain into something positive. So once I made that, it's still hard for me to this day, you know? But I made that small turn and dude, it just like, I don't know where it comes from. Yeah. It's like, you know, I pray a lot. I ask God for strength and guidance and motivation. You know, and open doors and closed doors, give me signs. So whatever happens in my life, I just flow with it, you know? And I'm always working.
Wow.
And I made a promise to myself and God after I was homeless before. I told I would never go hungry again. I would never go homeless again. And I heard something inside of me. It says, as long as you work hard, you'll never go without food and you'll never go without shelter. So ever since that day,
I'm
busting my fucking ass.
It's good, man.
Every day. And I've never been homeless. And I've been hungry sometimes, but it ain't to the point where, like, you know.
Intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
Just call it
that. Yeah, it's okay to take a day off.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
What's the greatest lesson your dad taught you?
If you're going to do it, do it. And what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Uh-huh. That's one thing he always told me growing up, you know. And I didn't know what it meant until I needed to know what it meant. And that was actually one of the first tattoos I got across my chest. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Wow.
So when he was killed, it broke me, but it made me unbreakable in the same sense because I loved him so much. You know, he was my hero. You have a dad, right?
Absolutely.
You know, so your dad's like, bro, it's like, man. Dad, what kid would want, what does he want his dad? Love your dad. So when that was taken away from me, everything was gone. My love for animals, my love for, I didn't love my own family.
Really?
You know, so what brought me back to reality was the animals. Which would save me because I was depressed, I was lonely, I didn't have anybody to come to, you know? So once I got back with these animals, I started praying a lot. Dude, like, I felt love again. I felt myself come back. And that's why I go so hard for the animals, because the animals is what saved my life.
Wow.
Without even knowing. I knew they'd bring me happiness my whole life. But when I was in my darkest place in my life, that I didn't care or love myself or anybody, they loved me.
Wow.
They brought it out of me, and I'm like, dude.
And they needed you.
Yeah. You know, just as much as I needed them.
Yeah.
You know, so like, it's cool to be able to, people don't know the real story of my life because nobody knows me. They just know Tarzan and cool videos of apes and lions and snakes and stuff. But this whole animal stuff is what that keeps me going every day. It's what keeps me happy. I don't know anything else to do. You know, I have small hobbies, but every day, every second of my day, every thought is around animals because that's what keeps Mike happy. That's what changed my life. So when I get to this point in life where these animals have brung me, it's like, I gotta do everything in my power for them.
Yeah.
So that's why I go so hard on the education. It's not even from a aspect of education, it's understanding. People just wanna be understood. So do animals, they just wanna be understood. I don't care to be understood because I let the work speak for itself, you know? I don't like talking much. That's why I never done like any podcasts or interviews. It's just, I've always had dreams my whole life to do stuff. And every time I told people, it was like, oh, dude, that doesn't sound good.
Mm.
You know, so I was like, okay, how about I can show you?
Yeah.
And then you give me your answer afterwards.
Right.
You know, so.
That's good.
It's cool to be able to
great,
do
man.
It.
I love it, man.
I love it.
What about the biggest lesson your mom taught you?
Biggest lesson my mom taught me. My mom is a hell of a woman. Strong. Strong as shit. And my mom taught me without knowing, she taught me, was it's okay to leave and do your own thing. My mom comes from the same hood my family comes from, but she was the first one to leave. When everything was bad in my neighborhood, my family, she was the first one to leave Rhode Island to Atlanta to give us a new life.
Wow.
And she had nothing. She just went with her gut feeling. You know, she knew an opportunity was going to make itself something out of it. And she brought two of her kids and herself with like $100 in her pocket. And we drove 18 hours from Rhode Island, packed all our stuff up and went down to Atlanta. Never looked back, but it was the best thing she could have did for us.
Mm.
Because if we stayed home, we wouldn't have made it. I'd have been dead easily. All the kids I grew up with, all my friends, went to the Boys and Girls Club, played football with, went to elementary and middle school with, they're all dead. Every last one of them. That's why I take this stuff so serious, because like, I ain't supposed to be here.
Yeah.
You know? And it kind of makes me emotional now.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing, because I like to inspire people to show them the realness of it. Like, I lost a lot, but I gained a lot, because I get to show them there's life outside of whatever you go through.
Yeah.
And you can always make it. So I like to show people that strength you can have without knowing you have it. Same with my mom. She had the strength to leave, but she didn't know she gave me strength to leave. So when I left Atlanta to go to Miami to live with my dreams,
mm-hmm.
it made it. It gave me that strength to go. I was like, okay, mom can do it. I can do
wow.
it. And the same thing with that fear. It's so generational. It just keeps going. But then you look at it, my grandmother, my mom's mom, back in the day, left from Rhode Island and moved to California. No friends, no family, no nothing. With all her kids, my aunts and my mom. And so my mom got that from her. Then I got that from my mom.
Wow.
It just, you look at that effect in life and it's like, holy shit. It's crazy. I take all this shit real deep and serious. You know, I have a lot of fun on social media, but there's so much behind it, that there's so much in the gas tank, in the engine, that keeps this going. And it's lovely.
Yeah, man. Thanks for sharing that.
Definitely. Sorry for getting all choked up. You
it's
know?
All good, man. That's what we do here. We get real here. Real Tarzan, real life, you know?
Yeah.
What message would you have the young kids who grew up like you, who maybe are afraid to adventure out and try new things, whether it's being with animals or just trying new things and in general?
Pray. Pray for strength. Pray for guidance. And believe in yourself. Everybody doubted me. I never doubted myself.
How did you believe in yourself when everyone doubted you? How do you believe when you don't have that belief?
It's hard to explain. It's more so of, that's where I feel like praying comes into play at. And again, this is going to, I don't care what religion you are. I love everybody. So I give this advice to people. If you believe in Buddha or you're a Christian, you're whatever you are, I don't care. I still love you. So what I'm going to say is, to apply to your life is pure faith. You believe in a higher power, you should believe in yourself. If you can pray and see stuff and want to achieve stuff and you're going to work hard towards it, whoever you pray to is going to help you. You're going to help yourself. You know, you're going to have enough strength and motivation to keep going. So when the world tells you no, whatever you read in the Bible, whatever you're doing in your life, God is going to give you signs that you're going to see. And only things you're going to see is what you prayed about. So when I pray and ask God for signs, and he puts signs in my life, I'm like, okay.
Here we go.
Here we go. I always ask him to open and close doors in my life. So when he closes doors, sometimes I'm like, fuck, I wanted that door to be open. Then it's like, I prayed for it, you know.
A year later,
I realized, I'm like, oh.
That's why.
Yeah. Totally get it.
It hurts sometimes to close doors.
Yeah, bro, it does. But God always got a better door open for you, mm-hmm. you know. So just have faith in yourself, you know, work hard. And I'm telling you, you can become a very scary individual.
In a good way. I like that. You love animals so much. Do you eat meat?
Yeah.
This is
a great conversation.
What's your viewpoint?
So my mom's a vegan.
I have lots of vegan friends.
Yeah.
You know, I eat meat, but I also believe in being more plant-based.
Yeah.
Possible, the more like conscious minded I become, it's like thinking about where the meat comes from and everything like that. So why do you eat meat if you love animals that much?
Well, I grew up on meat. And of course now, like I say, I get educated in things. Of course, with all the great publicity I'm getting with animals, people are asking, why do you eat meat still? But then again, I'm real about it. So of course you have, and again, I don't mean to offend anybody with what I'm gonna say, but I got these vegans, and not all vegans, they kind of attack certain people.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need to do this and this, you know, it's like, that's not how you approach situations for one. So the main—
Come from a loving place.
Yeah, the main reason I'm not a vegan is because of the people. I've been bullied a lot my whole life. I got kind of like PTSD when that shit, I don't know if it's the right terminology for it, but like when I feel like people are
attacking
me, I get on a kind of a whole different person. It's just naturally
like
how
I am. Like a snake.
Yeah.
Takes you attack, it's going to bite you.
You want to fucking fight? Let's fight. You know? So it's wrong for me to do. I'm learning to have educational conversations without being on the defense, you know? I have this cool conversation with a lot of vegans. It's been working pretty cool.
What is it?
You know? And it's like, they ask me about, you know, the animals, why you meet. I'm like, you know, you can't really, I don't waste food. Every time I eat food, I have food in front of me, I eat it. That's how I was raised, you know, I don't waste anything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to go vegan next year.
Really?
I'm going to still eat meat, but I'm going to hunt for it myself.
Really?
So I'm going to work for my food.
That's what Zuckerberg did.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. But for like the vegan community, you have to be a little less harsh at your words and try to educate a little more on a maybe a different way.
Mm-hmm.
The same route I took with animal education. So much you can do for so long until you gotta switch shit up.
You can't shove it down people's throats.
Exactly.
You gotta entertain and educate and make it fun and do it a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course I don't agree with animals that's killed or slaughtered inhumanely for, you know, food consumption. But we are all animals. We're on the food chain. We have canines in our teeth. That's not for eating plants. Of course, you can eat meat.
What do they say about like, well, a gorilla eats vegetables, right? Just like
a lion just eats meat. You know, it's the same thing. It goes hand in hand.
Gorilla's got canines, right?
Yeah. Gorilla's got canines.
But it doesn't eat meat, right?
But they have more so of where they come from, too. You know, their DNA, how they're wired, is just different than different animals. You know, of course, like you couldn't switch and eat for a gorilla to eat meat 24/7. He'd die.
Why is that?
He can't get the proper nutrients. You know, his stomach can't hold it. He doesn't have certain acids to digest certain things. Versus a lion, I can't just feed lion kale and lettuce and plants all day.
He'd die. Really?
You know, he wouldn't get the proper nutrition.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Of course, you could probably like blend up proteins and stuff like that and syringe feed him, but you know, naturally, he just can't do it.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
You know, so.
But humans can.
Huh?
We can survive on just plants.
We can. We can bounce back and forth. Going back to my original statement, they're like, oh, these animals, this and that. And I'm like, okay, you can't sit there and say that you're 100% for these animals because where do you live? We live in a house.
Yeah. What are you wearing?
What are you wearing? You know, like
the makeup, the shoes,
all
the
that stuff plays into, you know, the leather on your car, you know, like all that stuff plays into back into your vegan stuff. You know what I'm saying? So you can't sit there and say, hey you, when you have a bunch of hey yous behind you in your life. In order for us to be one, be able to spread your message, because it's not just for me. A lot of people don't like the way they approach people. And I'm pretty sure there's tons of people that can have educational, fun conversations about their way of life. And it needs to be done in a better way, of course. But just for me, it's like, I'm going to try it for my own benefits, you know, of hunting for my own food. I like challenges, you know.
Yeah.
If I want to buy food, I'm going to buy only fruits and veggies. But I'm going to go fishing. I like to fish, you know, so I'm going to go fishing. I go hunt. If I want to eat, I'm going to go hunt it all next year. That's my motto.
Just a lot of time and energy.
Hey, if I want it, I got to do it.
That's true.
You know?
If you want to at least try it for a year. Yeah, I always take the approach of like, no matter what stance you have or what you're trying to like come at someone with, whether it's veganism or whatever, just how you show up in general, if you are trying to attack other people on one topic, you better have your whole life figured out. Exactly. On every other topic. You better be in integrity all the time, a good person. You better be like, you know, in shape, all these other things, like, because then they can just come and attack you on something else.
Exactly.
So learn to educate and connect with people on something you're passionate about, but don't make them wrong.
Yeah. So when they come at me, I just say, I love you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to argue. I love you. We're on the same team. Have a good day.
That's a good response.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a good response.
You know, people always want to fight, but why would you fight your teammate? If you love animals and I love animals and I'm out educating and you're out here educating, leave me alone.
Yeah.
We can have educational conversations, but it's negative. I love you. Yeah. Have a good day.
What's a couple questions left for you? I'm curious. What's the best animal to rescue or have that is not like the normal domestic animals? The cats, the dogs, the, I don't know,
best whatever. Best animal to rescue.
Rabbits. I don't know. If there was like an exotic animal that you wanted to have, whether it's a fox or a monkey or, you know.
Iguanas.
Iguanas. Why is that the best
animal? Iguanas are so, such dope creatures, dude. Oh, man. Like, so
you catch a lot of them too. I saw a video of you catching like 30 in a night or something. I was like, this guy's crazy.
It's like 300 in a night.
Crazy, man.
Yeah, it's like nuts.
They're all over Miami.
Yeah, it's like they're invasive species in Miami. I've had iguanas my whole life growing up, so I've already had a natural love for them, you know. So, but then moving to Florida when I was 17 and seeing
everywhere
more iguanas than there were people was like,
they're all over the place. Buildings, trees,
everywhere, bro. Trees. They're in the city. They're at the beach. They're at restaurants, they're on the highway, bro, they're everywhere.
So why are they a good animal to have?
I mean, I wouldn't say a good animal, I was just saying a rescue animal.
Gotcha,
it's exotic, but they're real personal.
Really?
Yeah, they have such personalities, you know, and like, I'm not saying a wild iguana, but like once you have an iguana in captivity,
right,
they're trained. Just so smart and intelligent. They understand you. You pet them, they raise up, they wait for you to pet them.
Really?
You scratch them on the head, they're like, oh yeah, that's just like a dog. They're affectionate. You know, they go through their mood swings, you know. They're just awesome creatures. And when it's your friend, you know, you have a lizard that's in your living room, you're sitting on the couch, and he walks across the whole house and crawls up your leg and falls asleep in your lap.
No way. Like,
dude, how?
A lizard does that?
Yeah, bro.
I gotta come see your animals.
It's sick, bro. Literally sick.
I gotta come see them.
My lizards, I have two rhino iguanas. They're like almost 30 years old. I rescued them from this guy. When I say rescue, like sometimes people, they don't want their animals anymore.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'll take them in and I build them like these giant, huge enclosures and feed them tons of fruits and veggies of all different kinds. And just, I have so much fun with it. Now, I don't breed anything. I don't have anything like to resell. Animals I get are like, I think out of all my animals, I think maybe four of them are nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Four. What are the four?
My dogs.
Two dogs. And your fox.
Yeah, I got a chameleon. That's pretty cool. But everything else is like just evil.
They're not nice.
Just rejects for people they don't want. And I love the challenge of taking on the challenge.
None of them are nice.
None of them.
Are they nice to you or no?
Over time. So certain animals take a few weeks, a few days, a few months. I have an iguana at home, you know, and I've caught over almost 50,000 iguanas in the past couple of years, easily.
In the wild.
In the wild.
Yeah.
You know, so I have one in captivity that you would think that I've had so much experience with iguanas, I would know. I got one iguana, bro. He's just a dick. You know,
won't let you pick him up, won't
nothing.
Let you.
Just recently, the weather's changing. You know, they're going into hibernation and brumation. So he's starting to eat a lot more to fatten himself
slowing
up.
Down and so.
I used to put food in his cage, he would run to the back and just look at me. And now I'm going to his cage and he's sitting there staring at me, he's not moving. And then he's walking close and like licking the fruit as my hand's still in there. So I grab some banana. He's still smacking me and biting me.
Really?
But just that little bit of him not running away, the same way how I had my snake as a kid. There's that one day I went and picked him up, he didn't bite me. So I kept duplicating that, building that trust. Same thing with this iguana. Even till today, he's still mean, but a couple days ago, I got it, and I've had this thing for almost a year now.
Oh my gosh, you know, you got a lick.
I built in this huge cage that cost me like, you know, and a lot of my animals, they have cages that cost way more than them. I have a monkey, a rescue monkey that's evil. I can't touch him or anything.
Really?
And the thing cost me $300 to rescue just to give the family a feed to cover some expenses, but his cage costs like $4,000. That's just the type
of- You can't even touch it.
You can't touch it.
Right, how long have you had it?
I had him for like 3 months now. We're getting closer. You know, but
wow, man.
Animals go through psychological and tragic experiences from other homes, you know, and they don't like humans. And you got to rebuild that trust again. You know, that could have been a good monkey for 7 years, and then it took one bad instance.
Oh, man.
You know, you broke the monkey's trust, and he's just freaked out by you. And you got to start from day one.
Oh, man.
And so people are like, man, fuck that process. I'm not going back to that again. I want to get bit again. You know, I don't want to... I don't want to keep cleaning up his shit. I don't want to keep buying fruit and, you know, I don't want to.
No affection back, no love back.
You know, so that's where I pride in my at home collection because I have animals that just don't like me, but I give them the best life possible and ended up loving me. And I show that on social media. If you scroll back, I got this giant 6-foot lizard from New Hampshire. And when I got him in, his mouth's open, he's smacking his tail, and it's literally sending me to the hospital, literally like, the smallest bite possible.
It took you to the hospital?
No, I'm saying he can.
Oh, wow.
You know,
one bite.
One bite. I'll go straight to the... I can rip ligaments in my hand.
Really?
It's tendons. A big, oh, yeah. Strong. It's a 6-foot water monitor from Asia, like a Komodo dragon.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's not a dangerous Komodo dragon, but it's a close relative of it. So I got this thing in. He's just evil. And then feeding him, taking a couple smacks and huffing and puffing, and then you just start petting them and hanging. Now I can go in there, I can pick him up.
No.
I can kiss him on the face.
Shut
I can pull
up.
His tongue out. I can be in front of him. I have videos. I go on live all the time.
Check it out.
And I chop up raw chicken, right? With my hands. And I take the chicken and I'm like, here you go, buddy. And he grabs it and doesn't touch my finger.
No way.
I swear. And then my hands are covered in juice and chicken.
He won't guts, bite it.
And I'm putting my hand in front of his face. It. He's looking at it like. But do you want to pick a chicken up? He grabs it. So that's how intelligent these animals are. You know, he knows, even though he smells my hands full of chicken, he knows that I'm not food.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's sick, dude. I got these giant lizards from Dominican Republic, 5-foot, called rhinoceros iguanas. They have rhino horns, like a rhino, but on an iguana. You know, and they got these big, huge face, these teeth that
scary
curve
looking.
Back, scary looking, right? If you grab a little blueberry, and you give this blueberry to this fucking lizard, his head's this big. He reaches out with his little tongue, he grabs a blueberry,
no.
and chews it. It's literally insane, bro.
Dude, I want to watch some of
it's
this.
It's insane, bro.
If I come to Miami and you're there, can I come check it out?
We're
going to
have stuff here. I'm moving here.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to go home, pack up, and I'm a road trip all the way over here.
No way. With all the animals?
Not all of them. I got a couple friends.
Yeah, there's stuff here too, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say, hey, you know, here you go.
Dude, I want to come experience this.
It's going to be sick. We're right here in your backyard.
This is amazing, man.
Sick, bro. I can't wait. And like, see stuff like this, you know?
It's exciting me.
We can set your podcast up in a monkey cage and have a podcast in there for one day, you know?
It'd be crazy.
For real. It'd be sick.
Monkeys are amazing, I feel like.
Oh, they're
I haven't had much experience
so
with
intelligent.
Them. Yeah.
Just, I helped raise a chimpanzee. Probably one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life.
Like a little baby?
Like a baby chimp, like a baby.
What was that like?
The ape. Bro, it's insane.
They're just hanging on you and playing
on
you.
This is so intelligent. It's like a human. He's literally a human with extra hair. And he can't, and he can't talk. But
can't talk.
Everything that we do.
Can he sign? Can he like.
Dude, he's just, you show him how to blow a candle out in a couple minutes, like, it's hot, don't touch it. He's like, oh yeah, it's hot. It's like, what? It's like you're brushing your teeth, you can turn the water on and you turn it off.
He can do it.
He's like, turns the water on, he drinks it, and turns it off. You're like,
this is crazy,
it's
man.
It's insane, bro. You put an iPad and you show him how to swipe and hit apps.
No.
Swear. It's literally mind blowing how smart these animals are.
Wow.
I think they share like 98% of our shareable DNA, you know, so.
Wow, man.
It's just having a. Knowing it's an ape, but it's like a human.
If you could only have one animal that wasn't a dog, let's say for 5 years, you couldn't keep any other animals, hypothetically, right? It's like you could only choose one. This was going to be the one that you were going to be with and train with and hang out with. Any type of pet, what would it be?
Black Jaguar.
Why is that?
It's my spirit animal.
Okay. Do you have one now?
No. I've raised some before.
Wow.
And like helped adopt some and gave some money towards their food and cage builds. But I've never personally owned one.
You've been around them though?
Yeah.
What's it like?
This just, dude.
Those things are powerful.
I've been around jaguars before, but I've always loved, you know, from the movie Black Panther. I've always had an obsession with Black Panthers, even though there's no such thing as really a Black Panther. But Black Jaguars, it's just been my spirit animal since a kid. Actually, I'll show you a funny clip. This is where
Black Jaguar, okay.
This is where it gets funny for me. This is how I know these are my spirit animals. I started working with this little jaguar. He was confiscated from some smugglers, and he was freaked out. It's a jaguar. It's an apex predator in the, mm-hmm. in the jungles of Central and South America.
These things are big, man, right?
Something yeah,
big.
Bro. They're just...
Muscular, strong.
Muscular, strong. Teeth. Just... I was down in, you know, working with this jaguar, and he was just not having a good day, and which is understandable with the situation. And this is my this photo is the first time me interacting with him. I got videos I'll show you. He was just totally freaked out.
How big was it?
He's only probably about this big.
Baby or no?
Yeah, his baby.
Like 6 months or 4 months?
No, I'd say like 3 months.
Oh, young.
Yeah.
And he is not...
Freaked out. Humans, horrible people.
Yeah.
You know, but that's how he's supposed to act. You go in a cage and he's in the back of the cage showing his teeth, hissing, growling, which is, you know, what he's supposed to do.
But you take him in the water.
Took him in the water, calmed him down, fed him, gave him some space, did it again, fed him, gave him space. So after he's swimming and swimming and swimming and he's about to have enough of me.
Is he biting you or no? Clawing
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah.
He is. But his baby doesn't hurt.
That's him. After 4 days.
Look at his claws.
Oh, yeah. Like, they have full teeth, full claws, and everything.
Is he scratching you a lot or no? What? In captivity? The first day?
Oh, yeah. They just tracked you in an accident. So, yeah, just...
Wasn't breaking the skin, though?
Oh, yeah. So, that was my first time working with a black jaguar was that one. I've worked with jaguars before, standard color jaguars, but I just feel like my spirit animal was that.
Do you think if you raised it as a baby, would it be tame around you as an adult?
It's more self-trusting. Of course, you can't.
You can't be like playing, rolling around.
Yeah, you never encourage
like a bear
playing with any wild animal, you know, or
no.
You know, apex predator in captivity.
What about that guy who's like always with the lions?
Which one?
There's a few of them, but there's a guy who did like a bunch of GoPro stuff that was like...
Oh, Kevin Richardson.
So the guy in South Africa.
He's a badass, dude.
He's like just walking out with the lions like, and then playing with them and grown lions.
He spends hours and hours and hours.
Doesn't
and
matter.
Hours,
one
like every single day. Yeah, in one instance, you're done. But that's the...
But he probably raised him.
Look how much awareness he's raised. In our line of work, we have to make that sacrifice. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, your life.
It's your life, you know, but... I do it any day.
But you do it in a safe way. You're not like...
In a safe throwing, way, you're not just educate and inspire.
Yeah, you know? The safest way possible.
I look at it as if I can make a sacrifice for myself and I can work for 10 years and say, God forbid something happens to me, but I can inspire 100 million people to love animals and only 10 people are going to fully chase that dream hard like I did, just imagine what 10 Tarzans can do in 10 years from now, you know? So... That's the sacrifice you make to inspire, encourage, and
sometimes, rise to consciousness, yeah.
Sometimes you get caught in the fire and stuff, you know, but it's okay because that's what we do. Yeah. It's like playing NFL, you're going to get a concussion. You're going to break a leg, you know. If you're a race car driver, you're going to get in an accident. Shit happens. Of course, you don't even want it to happen, you know, but that's just life. Wow, that's why the bites and scratches don't bother me because it's every day. It's like getting fouled in basketball.
Right, it happens.
You know?
It's just a hard hit,
It's a hard hit, it's a bruise. Yeah.
This is your contact sport.
Exactly.
It's getting a little nipped by an iguana or something. Okay, final couple questions for you. This one is called The Three Truths. I ask this to everyone at the end. So imagine it's your last day on Earth. You choose the day as many years out as you want it to be. You've done everything you want to do. You've accomplished all your dreams. It's all happened. But for whatever reason, you've got to take all the information with you. All the videos and content and work you've done, TV shows, it goes with you when you pass. So no one has access to your information anymore. But you could write down the three things you know to be true about your life, your experiences, the lessons. And there's only three things you can share with the world. What would you say are your three truths?
That's cool. I like that question. The three things that would be the truth if I could take everything away. Love always wins. That's the truth of my life. I could easily hate a lot of people for a lot of things, you know, but if I love you, what happens after that?
Mm-hmm.
You got nothing.
Right.
If I go negative about it, we can go on for years of negativity, fighting back and forth, you know, all types of crazy stuff. But at the end of the day in my life, what's been making everything happen, it's love, you know?
That's great.
So love always wins. God is good all the time. Second truth. there a truth? The truth I would love to leave is we need animals more than they need us. Because if they go, we go. That's the reality of it.
Really?
That's the truth. So if I were able to leave this earth and not have anything I've ever done be shown but leave three truths behind, love always wins. God is good all the time, no matter who you believe in. And animals. If there's no animals, there's no us.
Wow.
That's the truth.
Wow. Yeah, those are powerful, man. Well, what can we do to support you? What's a project that you want us to follow? Where can we follow you online? At The Real Tarzan on Instagram. You guys got to check this stuff out. If you guys aren't following, make sure you follow and just see the videos. They're inspiring. So what else is going on for you?
A lot of charitable work. We're going to be giving a lot of money and a lot of... We're going to do stuff different. A lot. I feel like a lot of companies, organizations have billions of dollars from charity and give back, but they only pinch out a couple hundred thousand dollars, maybe a couple thousand dollars. I want to be known as the dude when I die, like, yo, that motherfucker Tarzan was giving away big checks and doing big work and just doing real humanitarian loving work, like going to Africa, really rebuilding shit, you know, documenting it, showing people where their money's going, where my money's going, where my time's going. I feel like we're missing that aspect of reality. You know, I feel like us as Americans, we're so comfortable and cool here, you know, but there's a whole nother world out there that needs us. And at the end of the day, we can be Americans, we can be Africans, we can be Europeans or Australians. But at the end of the day, we're all brothers and sisters and we're all people. And that's where the love comes at. Where can we go out and help these people?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's where, like, I feel like the love is going to be just so real that we're going to be able to show it, you know, help build on it. We're starting our own nonprofit in 2019. So, you know, I've been using a lot of my own money to go out and do this work, you know, and bringing people along with me, whoever wants to tag along. That's why I feel like I've been building these relationships. Will Smith, Diddy, giving all these eyes, these people. Once we start hitting these real projects and showing the real progress, it's going to be a beautiful thing and start a trend of just helping and showing love.
That's great, man.
So just, I can't tell you what to do now.
Just follow you on social media right now and stay tuned.
Stay tuned, man. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff coming. A whole lot of gangster shit coming your way in a fun way.
I like it, man.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I got to acknowledge you for a moment, Mike, for being authentically you, because you grew up in a place that wasn't supportive of your dream, but you did it anyways. Mm-hmm. You did something that most kids that look like you don't do.
Exactly.
And you're doing it anyways with a lot of passion and love and generosity. You
Absolutely.
Give back constantly, which is really inspiring. So I acknowledge you for your efforts, your work, your care for animals that don't have care. And you constantly show up in a big way, man. And your heart is it's infectious. So I acknowledge all that you do.
Thank you, brother.
Man.
I really appreciate
really powerful,
that, man.
Yeah, man. Of course, man. My final question is, what is your definition of greatness?
Definition of greatness. I love this. So this is the best way I can explain it. I look at Mike Tyson. I look at Michael Jordan, Michael Phelps, Michael Jackson, Michelangelo. And you get these people that share a name, Michael. This is just me. This could be anybody. Greatness is when you look at these people's lives and you parallel them and they never cross paths in their actual line of work and they all have one thing in common, relentless hard work. Look at Michael Phelps. Yeah, what does he do every day? He swims. He masters his craft. He doesn't worry about anybody else. He worries about himself. He masters his fucking craft. And that's why he's the best Olympic gold medalist swimmer for whatever swim thing he does. I don't know exactly what he swims with, but I know
it's the best.
He puts the work in. You know what I'm saying? Look at Michael Jordan. Sickening work ethic. He's great. So true greatness lies in hard work. No matter how talented you are, if you work your ass off every day, nonstop, you become great. But you just got to believe that shit. If you don't believe me, look into these great people's lives, the real greats, the real goats. and you see what they look at the documentaries, look at their work, look at their passion, how they move. They have relentless hard work. I was working hard all year, what I thought I was. I met Will Smith, and I think I met him what, a month and a half ago?
After the video came out,
yeah.
And you met?
So I've been traveling the world and doing my Tarzan stuff, and I talked to Will Smith, and he's like, yeah, Will Smith hasn't been home since Christmas.
Working.
Just out there getting it. Another country, another this, another project, and it's just like music video, TV show, YouTube, jumping on a helicopter, your boy is doing it, and it's like, that's the hard work. What do you think Tom Brady does in his off time?
Studies. Trains, game
film. What do you think Michael Jackson did with his music? Just
mastering his craft.
Mastering his craft, you know what I'm saying? Just these people, greatness lies in hard work. Mm-hmm. You're talented all day.
Yeah, man.
Tell my little brother. My little brother is a talented young man. His name is Randy, my favorite little brother. And he's so talented, man, just naturally talented. But it could be a blessing and a curse.
Because you may not work as hard when you're talented.
So I tell him, I'm like, look, kid, you're very talented, but that doesn't mean shit. I said, you're already ahead of everybody just by talent-wise. I said, eventually they're going to catch you just by talent-wise. I said, imagine when you put relentless hard work on top of your already God-given talent. No one will ever be able to catch you. You'll be far ahead of everybody for a long time, for forever. And I tell him that at six years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we win 5 state championships in football. And then he leaves football and then goes wins another 4 state championships in basketball and one state championship in baseball. And it's just like, that's my boy.
What's he doing now?
He's playing basketball. He's 13 years old. Just turned 13 on October 12th. He's 6'1" with a size 13 shoe.
Ooh.
He's a monster. So if you think I'm
talking already?
He's damn near. I haven't seen him in like a couple months, but
close.
Every time I come
Might
home
be.
And see him, he's like,
taller, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's amazing, man. I love it. Good stuff. Make sure you guys follow this guy, The Real Tarzan. Appreciate you, Mike.
Thank you for having me, brother.
It's great, man.
There you have it, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this one. LewisHouse.com/724. Mike Holston in the house. Super pumped about this because he's doing incredible work. Again, make sure to check him out. Tag him on your Instagram stories at Mike Holston, The Real Tarzan. Powerful stuff, and his videos have been crazy the last couple weeks. So check out his videos, his photos. They're going to inspire you to want to be more a part of this conversation and engaging in wildlife as well yourself. So check it out, tag him as well, and share this with your friends, lewishouse.com/724. And again, if you have a dream, if you have a passion burning inside of you, this is another example that you can pursue that thing and make a full-time living doing what you love. That's what this life is about. It's not about doing something you hate for your whole life. Listen, I get it. For years, I had to do things I didn't love in order to gain the experience, the skill set, earn the money, to have the freedom to then pursue things that I did love. But don't ever let someone hold you back from saying your idea is too crazy, because there are examples every single day of people doing things they love. They're making big impact in the world, like Mike Holston, and making a full-time income doing it. So again, use this as an example. Share this with your friends. Let me know what you thought of this over on Instagram, lewishouse.com/724 for the full video interview. Check out Mike Holston at The Real Tarzan. And Harriet Tubman said, every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember, you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world. I love you so very much, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.